Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Wish it was Sunday.
Another pleasant valley Sunday.
Sunday came, trashed me out again.
Wake up!
Good morning, and we're in trouble.
Life, health, home, travel, and more. Life Matters, brought to you by Mercy Health, a passion for making lives better.
Is the laugh button working?
Good, all right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Life Matters is on your radio, Lake 96.1.
Welcome to Life Matters. A great
Welcome
show.
Back.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate you guys filling in for me.
We had fun, but we missed you.
Aw, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a rough couple of weeks for me.
Yeah.
But I'm on the turnaround.
Well, you look good.
Thank you.
You look like you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Because I didn't there for
Yeah, you don't want to look like somebody
months.
Else.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, no. Well, certain people I don't.
Right.
Anyway. So, but I had surgery on my kidney again, and then I had a completely unexpected side effect that I've never had before, and so I had no idea. I had to be readmitted, and
That's
my husband,
scary.
We know how smooth my Jeep drives at a certain mileage on I-94 up
right.
to the hospital that I needed to get to.
Well, at the right speed, it floats over all the bumps.
It really does.
Yeah.
So, but I'm yelling at him in the car. I'm like, just get me there. Don't worry about speeding. I know people will help me, you know, like.
It's a ticket. You know? Who cares?
Okay. So, and I don't think I think they would have just in the shape that I was in. I think that if we would have gotten pulled over, I think they would have either escorted us to get us there and then given him the ticket because it was so bad, or made us call an ambulance on the spot. I have never been so close to calling 911 as I was that Friday morning.
Yeah, that's scary.
It was bad. It was bad. And, but it was a completely unexpected complication I'd never had before.
Which makes it even worse because you've been through it before,
yeah.
And usually it's
yeah.
relatively smooth.
Yeah. So, now we're good. And I'm good. On the road. I feel fine. I feel great. You know. So we'll go from
good.
Here and try and figure out how we can keep me from having to have this done. I think this was my 10th.
Oh my gosh.
Procedure. I've had different procedures, but this
right.
is like my 10th procedure on the same kidney.
Yeah, that's like 9 more than you should have.
Mm-hmm. Like 10 more than I want to have. So.
Well, yeah.
So yeah,
we'll give you one, but
so I go next week to talk about to talk to them about preventative stuff now. Like if there's in it, there may not be much I can do. So and then I have another friend, Dee Dee, that's talking to me about some holistic, more natural kind of things,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so we're kind of working on that too. So we'll see. But it's anybody that has kidney stones or any kind of kidney disease or whatever. You know, my heart goes out to you because I feel your, literally feel your pain.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. So who knows? And the other part of the problem is that I was adopted and I have no medical history.
Right, no family
to go
history.
Off of, because my mom, when I was born, was 17. So I only had her medical, we only knew her medical history up until she had me.
Which probably wasn't much. Normally,
well, no,
it's not.
17.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's been a challenge for a long,
I
long
bet.
Time. But what do you do? I mean, you know, it's not like I can
keep moving forward.
Right. Yeah.
Hopefully
so,
get it taken care of.
Yeah. So, hopefully, everything is all good to go for a while. And
right.
If not, I need it to be by the end of the year because I can tell you that my deductible is fulfilled for my health insurance.
I bet it is.
And everything is covered at a much better rate.
Wow.
So, yeah. But anyway, so it was. But thank you guys for covering for me. You guys did a great job.
My pleasure.
Yep. I did.
I think Mike gets most of the credit for that.
Well, Mike's a button pusher. No, I'm just kidding.
He did a great job.
He did a great job.
If you would have put me over there, it would have been dead air probably.
Oh, great.
Because I can't find the go button. I don't even know how to get it started.
I was listening to it in the beginning and, you know, Jackson, you did so well. I'm going to tell you, next time I need a fill-in, it's going to be you.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's when I leave the air.
Right.
Eventually,
it's been fun.
The good
run.
Owner of the show.
The owner of the show. Okay. Well, you got a while.
A long way to go for that.
You got a while to go for that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, but Jackson joins us again this morning for Jackson's Jokes. I did miss you. I want to tell you, I haven't seen you in a couple weeks now. So, how have you been?
Good.
Good. You have a joke for us today or two?
Yeah, I got two.
Okay.
Why am I worried?
I don't know.
How does a panda cook his food?
How does a panda cook his food? I do not know.
I don't know.
A pan, duh.
Oh, I should have seen that one. I'm getting old.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one. A pan, duh. I think I know where you got that joke from, too. My assistant.
A-Rod.
Yep. And, so we'll throw her under the bus for that bad joke. So, what's your second joke?
Trying to remember it.
So I know, you're unexpected.
There's this kid and a daycare manager, and the kid asks, could I go to the bathroom? And the daycare manager says, no, unless you sing your ABCs. Okay. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. You forgot P. It's running down my legs.
Oh, how did I know?
Well, that only took us back like 50 years when we... that joke is time-stamped, dude. Yeah.
It is?
Well, yeah, because I think your grandpa made it up that long ago.
That's another eye roller, and we heard them.
Right.
All over Southeast Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
But they're probably laughing, too.
But they are laughing because they're...
It's always funny.
They remember, just like we do. So, Jackson, I appreciate your jokes this morning. You did bring a smile to people's faces, as you always do.
Wait, before you guys kick me off the show, can we talk about a puppy?
Yes! Yes! Let's talk about your new puppy.
Let's talk about Grandpa being back on third shift.
Yeah, so you guys got a, what, eight-week-old or so German Shepherd puppy?
Yep, all black German Shepherd puppy. We got him Wednesday, and since Wednesday I've been residing on the couch. Amy, unfortunately, is out of town.
Oh, I know, because she called me about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was very excited. It was funny because she said, did you wait until the night I was leaving or night before I left to bring him home? I was like, no. Wait till he was 8 weeks old.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But yeah, he's fitting right in. You know, I was going to say,
because you have two other dogs. How are they doing with him?
Fine.
Yeah. He feels just like friends. Gunner is his dad, aww. I feel like.
Yeah, he follows everybody around. You let the other two out, he goes out with them. I mean, he's falling right into the routine.
Wow, nice.
The only issue we're having right now is food, because they will eat his puppy chow.
Right.
And we got to keep that separate. I mean, it's minor.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's been a really smooth transition, other than I don't sleep.
Right. Well, if you choose, listen, you're choosing, though, to sleep on the couch with him or having him snuggle with you.
No, I'm choosing to keep the house quiet.
Well, yeah.
Because we have the box and everything set up for him. I don't want to put him in a kennel yet, but we have a big box that he can't get out of. It's perfect. But he cries.
Right.
So... you're not sleeping anyways. I figure a week, probably tonight, he's on his own.
Yeah.
He's staying in the box, and he's going to cry himself to sleep.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to be, you know, a horrific change for him, because he came from a litter of 11.
Whoa.
Plus, mom and dad are on scene, and the man of the house is a retired canine officer out of Racine County.
Oh, nice.
And he's still got his dog. Mm-hmm. So there's dogs all over the place, and he's used to all that activity.
That's nice.
Yeah. So I'm trying to make that transition as smooth as I can. It will be fine.
Right. Maybe. Well.
And I've been off, so I can, you know, go without sleep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
Maybe you should join a class of canine training.
No, I know what I'm doing.
Okay.
It's not my first dog.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because you've never seen dogs at our house before.
No, there's never.
Never.
Dogs. But, you know, I mean, to the benefit of the doubt of the puppy, Jackson cries when we make him sleep in a box, too.
He does.
So,
and he actually was whining last week, too, because he was having a problem with the vacuum. Because he's got to do the carpets after the show.
Oh, yes, yes. There is, yeah. Well, I go through vacuums around here really quickly.
Let me just vacuum up your phone for you.
Fine with me. I don't need it.
Oh, anyway, well, congratulations on the puppy. I know you guys are both excited, and I know you're Grandma is excited, Jackson, because she actually specifically called me to tell me about the dog.
Yeah.
she called to check in and make sure I was doing okay, and then she was so excited. So
she'll get on her knees and act like a dog and go, oh, hello, 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 and change her voice.
To the puppy?
Yeah, yes. She plays with him. I don't think she's acting like a dog, though.
That's awesome.
She gets down on her knees and her hands.
Well, the puppy's little.
Like a dog.
Well, she's just teaching him to do his normal stuff, right? Right.
Yeah, because you didn't do anything like that, did you?
No, probably
never.
Not.
Never.
That's hysterical. Well, you guys are going to have a great time. And
oh, yeah.
He's beautiful. Yeah. I have a
Thank
picture.
Thank you, yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
We got lucky again. And like I said, it's been a smooth transition, and I just can't wait because I've really missed Vader since we lost him.
Yeah.
And I think you can't replace a dog, but I think he's going to fit what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Jackson, thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome.
As usual.
All right. Go do your chores.
You know, we have coming up next after the break, we have Jeremy Kinsey, who is well known in the Lake Geneva area. He is a fantastic IT guy. He is the IT guy here for the radio station, although he lives in Inglewood, Florida, and was
That's impressive.
In the, well, IT, he can do it from anywhere. He was in the direct path of the hurricane, and we were going to talk to him previously, but he has been so overwhelmed and just having to fix things, and he's good. His place wasn't completely destroyed, had some damage, but I wanted to find out from a person that has experienced this, right, that has never experienced anything like that before. You know, tornadoes are one thing. Hurricanes, something
I bet he's got some stories. This
and
will be fun.
He certainly does. So Jeremy Kinsey joins us next. We're going to talk a little bit about hurricane and hurricane cleanup. Coming up next right here on Life Matters on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to Life Matters. I have been wanting to talk to Jeremy for quite some time about his experience with the hurricane a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we kind of held off because it's pretty overwhelming. And he was still doing repairs, and they were still making sure that phone connection, you know, were going. And then, of course, last week I was gone, and so I didn't want to do it when I wasn't here.
Oh, right, right. And that system was pretty taxed on there. I know it took a long time to get things up and running again, and probably isn't completely up and running now.
It is not. And Jeremy is going to talk to us a little bit about some of that stuff. So, good morning. How are you?
Oh, great. Yeah, greetings from sunny Southwest Florida.
Well, at least it is now sunny.
Yeah.
It is. It is. This is our, we only have two seasons. We have fall, winter, and summer, or spring, summer.
Right.
Either hot and humid or hot and not humid.
Right, right, right. My dad lives down there in the Villages, and I actually, when I talked to him one day before the hurricane, I said, so my friend Jeremy's down there, and if he really needed somewhere to go, can he come there? And Dad said, well, I don't know why not. And I said, well, he's an IT guy, so I'm sure he can figure out something that's wrong on your computer, too, while he's there. And Dad said, if you ever had anybody that needed shelter from a hurricane, Nancy, yes, you can tell them to come here, but you didn't need it, except for I understand you maybe had to be, you thought you were going to ride it out, and then you had to be dragged out by your
Somebody
friends.
Had a different idea.
So I have a lot of friends from up north that have places in the area and stuff. Everyone from Jason Act to the Twinings. And the places that they told me to go were probably worse, so I'm glad I stayed put.
But right.
I was in my own house, and I think I had some friends down here that I met, and they were kind of worried, hey, you know, you're by yourself, you've never been to this before. So I had a buddy come over sort of say, hey, how quickly can you be out of here? I said, why is that? He says, well, we're going over to Scott and Tina, some friends of us that are on supposedly higher ground.
Okay.
And turned out to not be true.
Oh.
Supposedly higher.
So my house fared surprisingly well. I didn't get any water. I'm not in a flood zone. To give you an idea, I'm sitting maybe 20 feet above sea level.
Okay.
And the water came up. It was above my mailbox, but they build the houses down here. They bring in and they raise the grade.
Sure.
So I think the water came up about 20 feet from the front door, from where I can see. But the house that I went to, we were at, we were under the impression that the hurricane was kind of, you know, the what do they call it? That middle, I can't even think.
The eye of the hurricane?
The eye of the hurricane. Right. We're waiting for that to come. Because everybody's like, they've been through this before. They're like, oh, went through Charlie, went through Irma. The eye will come over. We'll go outside for 15 minutes, take pictures. That didn't happen. To give you the geography, we are south of Sarasota, and we're north of Fort Myers.
Right.
So basically, Fort Myers got one side of the wall and got leveled, and we got the other side of the wall and got leveled.
So
it was 10 and a half hours in that house, and then the surge came, which was unexpected because it came up from both sides. So there was water in the house to the point where we were kind of like, are we getting in the attic? I'm like, no, we probably don't want to do that because we've seen the pictures of people getting stuck there.
Right,
like,
right.
Get a ladder, get on the roof. But you couldn't go outside. It was just, you know, there was too much going on. So we just, you know, took like every towel we had, we were rolling up rugs, you know, kind of putting that against the doors. The
trying to keep it
coming
out.
Into the wall.
Wow.
Through the windows. So my truck ended up underwater up to the door handles. Surprisingly, the water did not get inside. It was not wet inside. So
wow,
that's
four
awesome.
Credit for that because whatever they did to the field, it didn't get in.
That's one of the few things that's one of the few things Ford gets credit for. A long story.
I'll stay out of this conversation.
My husband has nothing but Fords, and I have a lot of acronym-like names for them. So, yeah. No, we love Ford.
I'm fixing that thing this morning. I got another two flat tires, so that's some of the unexpected stuff. There's a lot of debris down here.
Right.
So I guess the weak point down here is soffits. Most of the houses are built really well. Mine, I put a new roof on when I got down here. I put hurricane impact windows and doors, so it fared pretty well. But mine, including every home down here, whether it was built in the 40s and 50s
right.
or it was built today, the soffits blew out. And so that would come in and bring in, like, water, wind, debris, blow out insulation. And then pieces of roof would come off. So now you got roofing nails everywhere. So
right.
I pulled out a roofing nail out of one tire, a nail nipper, of all things. Out of another tire.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been crazy. But it's hard to explain. It was a large group of friends that were all together in one house that we thought was going to be the safest one, and it turned out that it fared the worst, but we all survived kind of, you know, being together. I had a buddy of mine at one point that said, hey, Jeremy, we need a plan B, and I told him, look, we're at plan E right now.
Right.
Which is pretty hairy.
We can't go back to
We lost communication. The thing that I feel worst about, I wasn't thinking about myself or, you know, being afraid of, you know, dying or anything like that. It was more like thinking of all my friends and family back home that we lost communication for, like, at least 24 hours. There was only one person I could get a hold of after all this went down. So there was a period of time where no one knew if everybody was okay. So
yes.
I just can't imagine that feeling people were having, you know.
Yes, I was actually conversing with your sisters as well because, like, I had reached out to you and they, you know, I saw them posting on Facebook and eventually I reached out to a friend that I have down there in radio and said, what's the stat? Like, how is it okay? What's happening? And she said, it's almost over. Just hang on, you know, but that was of no help. And then right before you reached back out to your family, is when I had talked about that. And then when I said, hey, I did reach out to somebody. I think actually it was Beth that came back and said, we just talked to him. Like, so, everybody was pretty worried. And, because you're very well known around here. Jeremy was a JC, a small business owner for years and years, has had the fantastic opportunity to live out your dream and move to Florida. And you just moved down there. When did you officially move?
I officially moved November 3rd, so I'm coming up on one full year here.
Right.
And I have to tell you, this community, it's like, the best way to describe where I'm at is like living in Lake Geneva. The only difference here is we can't see the other side of the lake.
Right.
But everybody here is great. We have a wonderful chamber, a great YMCA, you know, good civic groups. The odd thing is there's no mayor, there's no alderman. The city sort of is run by the chamber and the community and stuff. But it's basically like if Lake Geneva had 20,000 people, you know, obviously minus tourists, it's literally like being in Lake Geneva. It's just the same tight-knit group of very good people.
That's awesome. No, that's awesome. And it sounds like you definitely have the support down there. So, but as a Midwesterner, growing up here, not ever going through anything to this magnitude, and I'm talking about myself, I'm going to have to assume that this is probably the most catastrophic event you've been through, right?
It is, but to give you some background, so I've moved 19 times in my life.
Oh
this
my God.
Was the 20th and hopefully the last. And
wow.
I grew up originally in Missouri, so we have tremors, earthquakes,
right.
We had tornadoes, ice storms. Wisconsin, even, we had that tornado several years ago that went through in January,
right.
1 year. My son was very young. And then before I moved down here, there was a tornado that came through Lake Geneva that hit my building, of all things,
right.
And took the roof apart and stuff. But no, never to this degree or magnitude. But I knew what I was getting into when I moved down here. I knew
right.
the area. I researched all the different areas. This one hadn't had anything major in like 200 years. They had Charlie and Irma, which like took a few shingles off. Like to give you an example, Charlie, which was a big hurricane down here, fit inside the eye of Ian. That's how big Ian was.
Wow.
Whoa.
So, this was a new experience because I think when I first moved down here in November, we had some sheer winds that came through in December that took out some pole cages. And I was like, okay, did I make the right decision? When it rains down here, it's like from Forrest Gump where it rains sideways,
yeah.
it rains up, it rains. The rain down here is
the monsoon.
It doesn't do it long. It's just every afternoon in the summer.
Yep.
It's crazy. And the lightning down here will literally make your bum pucker.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah.
<It's> crazy.
Well,
yeah, I've never experienced anything like this, but I tell people I can truly consider myself a Floridian now experiencing this. I got they're saying Cat 4, but we're calling it Cat 5 patch.
Yeah, I can't imagine that
you're
not.
I think you've earned it.
Yeah, me too. Me
yeah.
too. So my issue, I think, with dealing with something like that would be the longevity. Like you said, it rained for, like, the winds and everything were a solid, like, they never stopped. Like, we don't understand that here.
10.5 hours.
Yeah. 10.5 hours of rain,
yeah.
the hurricane winds just continuing to batter and batter and batter and batter whatever shelter you are in, not stopping, not letting up. Like, these aren't necessarily waves of heavy winds and rains and stuff. This is solid for that long, 10.5 hours.
Yeah, that's crazy. And
that's,
you know,
like being in a tornado for 10.5 hours.
For 10.5 hours, though.
Yeah. Freight train, and then the new thing with tornadoes, you don't usually have this surge where, you know, the ocean decides it wants to come visit you.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, we're lucky because we can go to our basements.
Right.
You know, and feel safe and ride the storm out. You don't want to go to a basement.
Oh, gosh, no.
And they don't have basements
right.
down
yeah,
there, but it's the last place I'd want to be. It's natural swimming pool.
Right, right. Well, and, you know, you said at the beginning of the show, too, that and one of the reasons why I still wanted to talk to you about this is because this is not over for you guys down there. You've got new things coming up every day. The debris is still down there. You know, obviously rebuilding in all of these areas is going to take time. And so what today are you dealing with?
Today, I think we're just kind of dealing with smell, which is okay. You kind of get used to it because we didn't have garbage pickup for some time. So this is day 29. So
okay.
to give you an idea, we
wow.
had 10 days of no power, no internet, which, you know, every now and then your phone would work.
Right.
And you could get through. It's just, you have to think of weird things like, oh my God, I have bills. I have some that are being paid, but some that I just pay online.
Right.
How am I going to do that? So
right.
I put a call into my dad. Hey, here's all my different, you know, the creditors, can you call them and say I was in a hurricane? Can you? I just don't want a late payment when I get back online. Things
right.
like that you don't think about.
Right.
Garbage. We had a problem with our the dumps. So both the recycling and the garbage facilities here, those got leveled. So there's no place to really put it. So there were trucks up here. Garbage trucks came up here from Broward County.
Hmm.
I don't know if you know the geography, but that's a haul from here.
Yeah, it
driving
is.
Driving a garbage truck, you know, a couple hundred miles up here, filling it up, and then driving it back to Broward to dump it. So
wow.
that odor, there's a lot of creatures died, which is kind of sad. There were people that, like, you know, pets that got out or something like that. I mean, it's just, it's horrible. So you've got, you know, there's a stench here.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that hot and humid thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, it's
that much worse.
Yeah. So road-wise and structure-wise and things like that, are you guys, I mean, so let me backtrack for a second. So Tom Kwiatkowski, with the radio station here, he was scheduled to go down to Naples, went down there, and he's been gone for, I think, 2 weeks. And I said, you understand that some of your stuff will be open, but the restaurants and the everything, they're not going to be able to necessarily reopen right away, even 2 weeks out or a month out. Not because of them being destroyed. Maybe they made it through safe, but your workers' houses were destroyed, and the roads are such in other places that you can't get the supplies you need to feed people. Right. You know, like, it takes an enormous amount of time to recover from something this catastrophic. And you don't think about trash trucks. Well, even if the trash trucks wouldn't have, even if that whole thing wouldn't have happened, they wouldn't have been able to get down the road. And think of the, you know, now you've got doors and windows and all these things that, you know, you're not, it's not just trash like from the kitchen.
No, everything's devastated. Right. You start all over.
Right. So you don't think about, like, what surprised you the most that you're like, oh, wow, yeah. We can't, we're going to have to go without that for a while.
Well, the biggest thing is, I guess, power, which I had a generator, mm-hmm. so you're able to at least, you know, get some power. But the biggest thing, I guess, one of them's going to sound a little disgusting, but the other one is, you know, just bathing, right?
Right.
The water's cold.
Yeah.
We didn't have any water for a while. I'm lucky because I have both city water, a septic, and I also have a well.
Oh, nice.
But spray yourself off. But the shock of the cold, even though it's warm down here, you know,
yeah,
the cold showers, that and going to the bathroom, some of the things that people told me ahead of the hurricane that I learned is fill your bathtubs if you have them. Fill
right.
your sinks before the hurricane.
Right.
I didn't understand why. Well, I filled it up. The reason you do that is if, you know, you are going to have to do number two.
Yeah.
It's a human, you know, thing.
Yeah.
You fill your bathtubs up, and then you take, like, you know, a bucket or something. You fill the toilet so that you can actually still flush it. That's the biggest thing. And I know stuff like that, we lumbered through. It was odd because I'm like, people are so dependent on the power, the internet, communication. We're just so unbelievably spoiled. And we made it through 10 days without power, internet, and we were, you know, we were fine. Neighbors were helping each other. My fridge was kind of like between me and both the next door neighbors was like the biggest one. We powered that with the big generator.
Mm-hmm.
We had the little ones running light, stuff like that. And we had a tremendous amount of help from the National Guard. They brought in things like MREs. They brought water, tarps, so we could cover our roofs and stuff.
Right.
Fine military cuisine.
I want to get super political, but our governor was amazing.
Yes.
He had 42,000, Nancy, 42,000 linemen at the border.
It's unbelievable.
They came from, like, Texas, North Carolina, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And we figured it was going to be weeks and weeks before the power was on. So I'm surprised. I mean, to have the power back on in under 10 days, if you can imagine the devastation. And it's not just this area. If you go down, I mean, Fort Myers is just
right.
a mess.
Right.
I mean, the surge really took them out. But, I mean, you talked about the roadways. The causeway to Sanibel was broken in three places, including the bridge.
Right.
He had that thing open in less than a week
right.
to
wow.
get linemen in and stuff. And then out to Boca Grande, it was the same thing, which is close to me. They had the causeway fixed and open enough to get people on and off.
Right.
I'm amazed at how prepared they were, how much stuff they had. We had a tremendous amount of support, plenty of food. We, like I said, all these civic organizations we down here between the Rotary Club, the Moose Club, the
right.
YMCA. So nobody was going without food or help and stuff like that. I mean, and I even went out and tarped a few roofs myself. Like, I got a call from somebody at the chamber. They're like, hey, can you go tarp this lady's roof? And I get over there and this poor woman, she's like, they're like, yeah, the sheriff just came and took my husband away. And I'm thinking, what did he
oh,
do?
My.
She's like, no, he said he went from 176 to 120 pounds, you know, during this whole thing. He was already kind of ill, so our hospital was kind of, you know, devastated by this as well.
Wow.
So I guess the sheriff came in, took him out to bring him to another facility where they could take care of him, but
yeah.
She stuck there and got this big hole in her roof, the tree on it. So, you know, I got up there, threw a tarp on and whatever, got the tarps from, like I said, the National Guard. So we had a horrendous amount of help, huge community outpouring. Everybody's helping everybody. There's a few breaking points for everybody. Even me on Facebook, I get all like rattled. But you know, you hit your breaking point. And you're
yeah.
Like,
sure.
But for the most part, everybody's been really patient, very helpful. Everybody's very nice. The stores you talked about, like the restaurants, I think we have in the area about 6 or 7 of them have reopened. And I think the pandemic was like a, I don't know, like a test
sure.
for disaster.
Sure.
Because these people went through that, and you talk about, well, you know, the employees, they're going to work. Well, they still have to make money and go to work. Well, they're able to do it. They still have their own stuff to take care of, but they were able to open some of the restaurants down here, get them going. So there's some sense of normalcy coming back.
What about the Waffle House?
Yeah, the Waffle. Well, they're open again.
Survival food.
It's funny. You know where that comes from, right? There's a guy down here in Ocala, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He's a local comedian, and he runs these little TikTok videos, and he always talks about the hurricane. Florida. He says, yep, Cat 1. He says, oh, yep, you're fine. You know, call me back. Cat 2, he's like, yeah, I'm going to have a few cocktails. Gets to Cat 3, and he's like, oh, this is just a normal Florida storm.
Right.
He's like, by the time he gets to Cat 5, he's like, is Waffle House open? He's like, it's closed? Yep, we're done.
Yep, that's bad. It's bad when Waffle House closes.
So you're talking about a generator, which is really fortunate to have one. Were you having problems getting fuel?
Right. That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, that was very difficult. So day one, we ventured. I mean, I had bought fuel ahead of it. We were actually, to back up, we had gone to see the Green Bay Packers,
mm-hmm.
go Pack, in Tampa Bay. It was a dream of a lifetime. I'm like, it's been years since they've been down here. So me and two friends went up to see them in Tampa. We knew that we were in the cone, but they kept saying it was going to hit Tampa, St. Pete.
Right.
But just in case, on the way back from the game, since we knew there were no generators down here, we stopped in a town called Bradenton, which is north of Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, I'm checking online, we're looking everywhere, there were 152 in stock. When we got to the store, there were like 70. By the time we left, there were 40. I mean, they were selling quick. So we get them, we get down here, and we bought fuel ahead of it. And there were lines because, you know, people are like, go on a buying frenzy, as you know.
Sure.
Of course.
You know, buying everything out. But on day one, you know, okay, we're running a little low. We got to think about this. So we drove 3.5 hours north. You know, we go past and we see the lines, and the lines would be like a mile long. So we kept going north till we found stuff, made our way back, and that kept us going for like 2 days. So like every other day, we would go and get gas. And I stopped at a hardware store, bought a hose and one of those balls that you use on like a on a boat to pump the gas.
Right.
Fashioned a siphon in case I had to siphon that out of my truck. Luckily, it didn't come to that.
Right. Right.
But yeah, that was a total pain doing that. And I think I was joking with people. I said, my electric bill is going to be so cheap this month.
Right.
But I spent
your gas,
$370 over 10 days in gas.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Running, you know, we were running between the three houses. We were running three generators.
How much fuel did you go through a day?
I think mine held almost 7 gallons, and I would fill it in the morning evening, so almost, I would say maybe close to 15 gallons a day on that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of gas, but that's really not that bad.
Mm-hmm. It is, but the thing is, with what we did was we tried, we're like, you know, let's just run the generator for like 2 hours on, 1 hour off,
right.
And I noticed the temp would drop down, and we figured out just letting it run consistently, it was working harder to cool the fridge back up.
Right.
Right.
So we just left them on.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. We're talking with Jeremy Kinsey. He went through the hurricane from Lake Geneva here, and we wanted to check in and make sure that you were, in fact, moving forward. And so that's the question that I have is, what is the outlook? Like, I know that you have been posting on Facebook, and you and I have talked a little bit up until now. I know you had to go, like, drive all the way to Titusville to get a new garage door. because your garage door got damaged. What do you see in the future? Like how much it's going to take a long, long time, right?
I guess if I were going to guess, just basing on other, people are comparing it kind of to Andrew, where several years ago, where it took between 1 and 2 years to completely recover and be right. normal. So I'm going to guess this area has got to be a minimum of a year. You've got a lot of roofs that need to be replaced. Mine, luckily, I have a new roof. It's got some moderate damage. It's easily repaired, but you only have so much material. Keep in mind, we still have these supply chain issues from the pandemic. There's been a building craze down here, so you have people, even myself, the property that I own down here was going to build on, they said 2 years before they can get to it. I think we're up to 3 now with this. So, our biggest problems right now are going to be getting material, and the even bigger problem is just hearing back from the insurance company. So I had my claim in on day one, thanks to my dad getting a hold of him. They came out an adjuster on the 17th, and they told me 5 to 7 days, which was technically yesterday, if you don't count the weekend, to get some sort of a thing, some indication of, hey, are we getting money? I'm not destitute here. I can absorb a portion of it. It's going to hurt, but there are people down here that, they can't just do this stuff out of pocket. You've got to get stuff fixed.
Right.
The longer it sits, it will rain again here.
Yes.
We'll get water in. You'll get mold. These tarps aren't going to last forever.
Right.
Critters like to make, we have a lot of wildlife down here. And mm-hmm. They'll try to make their way in. So me, like I said, I did a 400-mile round trip to Titusville where people don't know, that's Kennedy Space Center, where they built the rocket, SpaceX, all that. There was a Marine out there that had a garage door for sale, but his daughter didn't like the color. It was brand new. I wasn't going to be able to get that door until December 30th.
Right.
And nice. I really need to be able to use the garage door because I've got, I've got damage in the other. I have a garage on the house and I have a garage behind the house.
Right, right.
The garage on the house, the door's fine, but all of the drywall, the ceiling, the walls, all that has to come down. To do that, I have to get everything out of it, put it in the other garage.
Right.
You can't really do that if you don't have a door to protect it from bobcats and whatever else is out here. Snakes.
Might as well just put it outside.
Oh, my gosh. Bobcats and snakes?
Yeah. Well, see, this is the thing that came out. People told me, they said, after the hurricane, wait till you see some of the creatures. Well, everything looks for higher ground.
Pushed out of the swamp.
And so, there were a number of, we do have snakes, but you don't see them a lot.
Wow.
But after this, there's a lot of the small ground creatures, like, my little squirrel, which I haven't seen. The hawks come out, and they're hungry. So a hawk right in front of me got one of my squirrels right in front of me. Bobcat got a rabbit right in front of me, because they're looking, they're hungry.
Well,
they're
sure.
Alive.
Wow.
So you see a lot of little, creatures and stuff. So you want to keep your door. I mean, any time of year down here, you want to keep your doors closed at night, or you're going to end up with a raccoon or something
right.
in there.
Right. So one last question. What will you do differently next time?
I think
if anything.
I'd probably get a whole house generator. It was on the list, one that's actually tied in. There's a few people that have them down here, which is nice, because the power aspect for just basic things like, SSS, shower, shave, and, I think that's about it. I mean, to anybody that's like, oh, I would never move there. Why are you there? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, disaster strikes anywhere. Before I moved down, like I said, tornado had damaged my building.
Right.
I know there was a tornado recently in Burlington.
Mm-hmm.
You have, it can happen anywhere. I still love where I live. I don't regret it. I love paradise. We'll rebuild, but differently, I think that, and maybe higher hurricane damage coverage.
Right. There you go.
Well, and it sounds like you,
deductible.
Jeremy, it sounds like you may want to host the next hurricane party rather than going to one.
Right. Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, lots of us were praying for you. I know, like I said, I was kind of going back and forth with, both of your sisters we were thinking about you the whole time. And, but like you said, you knew when you moved down there that this was going to be a possibility. I just have a feeling you didn't think it was going to be within a year, but that's okay.
No, definitely not. Especially moving down here and completely renovating a house. I mean, I was 99.9% done with the house.
Right.
My when I got back here, I was it took me like an hour to actually, whenever all the water subsided and everything, everybody's like, are you going to go home check on the house? I'm like, I don't know. I sat for an hour. When I got back to my house, I actually stood outside for an hour, talked to the neighbors, and didn't go in. And
right.
Are you going to go in? I'm like, I didn't want to because I was afraid maybe water got in. I was just like, you know, what am I going to see? And I tell you, I am truly blessed. I fared a lot well than other people did down here. Very, very lucky.
Well,
and grateful.
And I know you. I know you have been out there helping anybody that you can as well. And so I know that they are appreciative that you've moved down there to help anyway. And so, but we are so glad that you're safe and so glad that things are kind of moving forward to you, for you. And I hope that the smell goes away soon.
Yeah, me too. We're, you know, starting to get used to it.
I know.
Kind of an odd, because normally it smells like, Florida.
It smells like beach. Right, it's not supposed.
Now it's like.
That's not good when you get used to it. You've been there too long.
Now it smells like Gary, Indiana. So.
Okay, so that's a good example. I was going to use like Milwaukee when they dump the sewage.
That's definitely
Gary, Indiana. Yeah.
Yeah, Gary, Indiana constantly smells.
Every open market in Korea.
That's right. There you go.
Which smells like every alleyway in New Orleans.
That's right. Yeah, there's another good example. Bourbon Street. Yeah. So, but Jeremy, thank you so much for sharing all this with us and checking in. We are so glad that everything is going well for you. And I know how much you have enjoyed paradise and you will continue to enjoy it in spite of the hurricanes. And when you come up here to visit, make sure you reach out to us.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And go Packers.
Yes, for sure. Go Packers.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Coming up next, we'll end the show right here on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
All right. I did it this time. Another big thank you to Jeremy Kinsey for joining us this morning.
Yeah, what a ride that must have been.
Can you imagine?
No.
No. Like I said, my fear would be it would drive me crazy that the noise would just not stop.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't stop.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been through some storms, but for that long.
Right.
And then how do you hide from water?
Yeah,
you
don't.
You can get secure in your basement or that center room of a house or away from the windows, but when it's leaking in, oh, my God.
Right. Yeah, there's nowhere to go.
Imagine going to the attic to be safe.
And then how do you get, you've seen these pictures of these people on the roofs and stuff.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, yeah. But he never had to go that far. And
seeking shelter in a rowboat.
Right, right. Well, and I can tell you that Philip Sassano and I talked about, he talked about the bridge that went to Sanibel and the road that went to Sanibel being destroyed and how quickly that got put together. One of the people that was heavily involved, a private company that was heavily involved with making sure that happened quickly, Philip Sassano from the design coach works with those guys down on some of his projects in Florida, construction management and some things like that. And we have talked about that on the design coach about how quickly that was. And it was because of, these private.
They were ready.
Well, it wasn't the government. Let me tell you that.
Oh, okay.
It was the private companies that went in and
stepped in and handled it.
It's like, Jeremy didn't want to get political, which he knows I have no problem with, but Florida's governor knows how to get stuff done.
Right.
Period. So that's why, you don't have to wait for the government to come and help you. The government will engage others to get the job done if they're properly managed.
It's all about being prepared.
Right. So DeSantis knows what he's doing, and that is why we wouldn't have that reaction. In Wisconsin, we wouldn't have that kind of recovery.
Oh, no, you take care of yourself and take care of your neighbors.
Yeah, we don't have necessarily a governor.
I love the township I work in, but if we have a tree come across the road, me and my neighbor Gene go out there and handle it. And now we have some new people that we're kind of racing to see if we can get to it first.
Aw.
But, yeah, we take care of ourselves
because
we can
around.
Do it way quicker than the township can.
Yeah. So, I wanted to talk about this. I know that we only have a few minutes left here. You and I have in depth discussed the trial for the Waukesha parade, Christmas parade. Because I was under the weather, so to speak, for the last few weeks and I had to work from home a little bit more. I did have the opportunity that trial was broadcast, not only was it streamed, but it was on Court TV and things like that.
Right.
Obviously, Mr. Brooks, who claims that that is not his name and he does not identify by that name, and he raises an objection every time somebody says Mr. Brooks, he was convicted on all counts. And, I mean, that was no surprise.
Rightfully so, yeah.
Right. But I learned so much about court proceedings and jury trials and things like that just watching that.
How they get drug out so long?
The only reason why that one was drug out so long is because they let him represent himself, which, you know.
He's got a right.
Listen, you have a right. What is the judge supposed to do when she says to him, I'm telling you, you're up against decades of experience from the prosecutor's office. And he looks at her and says, that doesn't make me flinch one bit. Okay, let's roll.
Yeah.
You want to do this? Fine. But then crying because he doesn't have access to this. And he hasn't. The fact that that judge only said like one or two times, well, dude, if you had an attorney, you'd have all this.
I didn't get to watch very much of it.
Right,
I was
teaching
the whole
right.
time. But the little bit I saw, I felt sorry for that woman. How she kept her composure astonishes me. Yeah, I think she's a rock star. And he did everything he could to make a mockery of the system,
yes.
which is a shame for the family of the victims mm-hmm. that had to relive that horror and watch his antics the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That never, in my opinion, that never should have happened. But that is part of our system. So I get it. He made a fool out of himself. But I guess I heard something this morning, or not this morning. I'm losing my mind. Last week, that mm-hmm. he may never see the light of day again. That's telling me that there's a chance for him to get paroled. How could that happen?
Oh, God, no. He'll never see the light of day.
We'll see. Hopefully not.
I have my opinions on how long he'll last in prison.
Oh, yes.
He's
absolutely.
Going to the same prison where Jeffrey Dahmer was.
Right.
You know? I mean, I don't want to put that out there as bad karma or anything, but
well,
people who do things, those crimes like that, don't fare well in prison.
No, because there is a code
uh-huh.
among the prisoners also.
Right.
And people may laugh, but there is. You don't want to go into a prison as a sexual predator.
No.
Especially on children.
No.
You will
not anything
definitely
like, right?
not be a good stay.
Really not anything that has to do with kids at all.
Right.
So, and when and you have to understand that there are prisoners in there with absolutely nothing to lose.
Oh,
they
yeah.
don't care. They're never
no.
getting out.
Right.
They are, and they will seek revenge or vengeance or whatever
right. and the way he
you
want
to call it.
The way he acted in court, he may bring this negative contact upon himself just by his actions.
I mean, I wonder if he actually thinks that, you know, like he's going to go back a hero, back to prison a hero. Like you know, I tried, I presented my own case, I know about the law, and like try to advise other prisoners or something. You know, I just wonder if that's what
I think in his mind he is.
Yeah.
But I can't see that happening. And, you know, it's pretty common sense. Any man or any person, sorry, that represents himself has a fool for an attorney.
Yeah.
Because it's emotional. You got to take emotions out of it.
Yeah. Well, in his closing arguments, he said that it was God's will and that his conscience was clear.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good.
So
nobody else's.
Right. So, you know, but yet people say, well, doesn't all of this make him be able to, you know, couldn't he have copped an insanity plea or something like that? No. And the judge brought it up and put it on record numerous times that he had read and learned how very quickly to make like legitimate arguments for things. For objections that the state would make or for objections that he wanted to make and things like that. Like, oh, no, 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 no. You are not insane.
No.
Insane.
And that's stupid.
Nope. You are evil.
Yes.
But that is different.
Right.
And so, but anyway, everybody knows what's going to happen to him. This is a no-brainer. Judge Doro is my new hero.
Oh, absolutely.
She
did great.
I don't care. I don't know what the highest court position she would ever want is, but if it's the Supreme Court of the United States or Wisconsin Supreme Court or something, she needs to be there.
Yeah.
There is I can't imagine that there would have been a better judge to sit on that bench for that trial than that woman. She gave him every opportunity. And she tried to make sure that he would have as little bit to appeal as possible. Because you know he's going to try and appeal. But I will tell you this. Tom Gardner from GKWW Law is going to be on the show next week. And one of the things we're going to talk about is, like, does this state, like, if he files an appeal, do they even have to take it up? Like, does a court even have to hear it? Or, you know, so next week that's some of the things we're going to talk about with Tom Gardner is, like, what's next as far as the legal, like, can he now ask for the public defender that he denied?
That's a good question.
In order to appeal, you know what I mean? Like, can, I mean, not that
on an appeal? I don't know. You've already been convicted.
I know.
I don't know
so
the answer to that.
So it'll be interesting. And it will be interesting to see. I mean, the sentencing is a no-brainer. It's automatic, consecutive life sentences.
Should be.
Once he dies, he will still have 5 more life sentences to serve. So,
right,
because the six homicide, intentional homicide.
I have lost faith in this country to the point of the no-brainers. Every time I hear this is a no-brainer, I think, yeah, until it doesn't work.
Well,
so you never know what kind of obstacle is going to be there. I have no doubt that she is going to do her due diligence on it. I mean, could you imagine coming into work every day for that length of time and dealing with that?
No. And can you imagine, you know, not only are the victims now affected and the judge and, you know, everybody in the courtroom and just everybody, the first responders, all of them, but now you've got 15 jurors.
Oh, yeah.
Who have now also had to see all of this on videos and things like that. And you know, God love them for stepping up because...
Yeah, they didn't get the TV version.
They did not get the TV version. So, but anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about, like, aftermath and how things roll after that, because I know a lot of people are very interested in, can he even do this or what happens here? But in the meantime, yes, the Waukesha County Prosecutor... Susan Opper and, of course, Judge Darrow and that whole team and everybody did, under the circumstances, the absolute best they could to protect everybody's rights, including the defendant,
right,
which he has a right to. But, you know, going forward, the only way that you just remember, this guy shouldn't have been out of jail.
No.
Never should have been out of jail.
Forget that.
Right. So if you want that to change... If you want Evers and Barnes to stop releasing people...
Barnes wants no cash bail.
I know. If you want that to continue to happen, then that's how you cast your vote. If you want this kind of crap to stop, you have to stop and figure out who's going to make that stop.
Yeah.
And you have to get off the couch and vote on November 8th because...
Absolutely.
It's stuff like this that is on the ballot... out of somebody on somebody else's name.
Right.
This has got to stop.
And it's an easy argument to say if he would have gotten a normal bail amount, mm-hmm, nobody would have got hurt. That would have been a fun parade.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, but again, Judge Doyle, she was my new hero.
Oh, absolutely.
She is. She
Without
was great.
Question.
Yep. But I'm glad it's all over for the family. That is some closure. The only other thing they have to do is they have to come back and they will be able to testify as far as his sentencing, and that will be good for the victims and the victims' families to get it off their chest. Again, it's another area of closure for them. So, but we're so glad that things worked out that way, and there was no kind of hiccup that screwed anything up, or nobody that hung back and made it a hung jury and had to start over again, or anything like that. So, there was no. They knew before
you?
They.
Yeah.
Come
no,
on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a no-brainer. But anyway. So, yeah. But I'm glad to be back.
We're glad you're back.
Again, thank you guys for covering for me. Yes, thank you. It was a long few weeks there. And next week, we're going to have Tom Gardner from GKWW Law and talk a little bit about him. And
good, because you get another week to heal before we start laughing a lot.
I know. He's a great guest, and we're looking forward to it next week. So in the meantime, enjoy the fall colors. Have a great Sunday. Heidi's up next right here on Lake 96.1.